Even if you were the wealthiest person on the planet, we could not possibly acquire everything. We can't see all the movies there are to see or read all the books that have been published. So we have to make choices. We're going to miss stuff. But at Christmas, there are some things you don't want to miss. She's already got the latest generation Kindle Fire HDX with Wi-Fi and a 6-inch display. And she's got an Invicta Women's Angel Diamond Stainless Steel Chronographic Watch. And he's got the new Canon Pocket Video Camera and the 90-inch Smart TV HD. With more acronyms we can't even understand, with the latest Xbox. He's also got a Diamondback Response Sport mountain bike with 26-inch wheels. Now, what he probably does not have is the new stylish Wi-Fi detector shirt. Yes, this is an interactive t-shirt with glowing bars on the front, dynamically changing and glowing as the surrounding Wi-Fi signal strengthen fluctuates as he walks down the street or even the corridor in the mall. Finally, he can get the attention he deserves as others bow to him as the reverential Wi-Fi god, and the young women swoon all over him. That's not my verbiage. It comes from their website. Their language, not mine. What's the point? The point is, what do we do? What do we buy? What do we give at Christmas? One of the classic Christmas dilemmas is trying to figure out what to get the person who has everything. These are the people who supposedly have been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, punched the ticket, seen it all. You figure whatever you're going to put under the tree is going to be a real yawner for them. So you kind of bail out and you go with a gift card. Impersonal, but it's never awkward. The truth is, though, that even in a culture as prosperous as ours, nobody has everything. As comedian Stephen Wright puts it, though, if you really did have everything, where would you put it? We'll never have everything or read everything or watch every movie or TV show ever made. So perhaps whatever you've put under the tree for that sophisticated and prolific person in your life is going to be just fine. Even the most prolific readers, film aficionados and couch potatoes, can't skim or see or surf all that's out there. None of us have a chance to see everything that exists, even with the internet. Not to put a damper on an otherwise bright holiday season, but every one of us will die having missed almost everything. The good news, though, is that even if we miss almost everything, we can still catch the most important things that we should never miss, like the really good news of Christmas. Whether they are lifelong churchgoers, holiday visitors, or downright atheists, most people already believe they have a pretty good idea of what shouldn't be missed at Christmas. For many people, for example, the one thing you don't want to miss at Christmas is family. Getting the extended family together, remembering times and loved ones past, sharing a meal around the table, opening presents under the tree. That's what Christmas is all about. In our increasingly nomadic culture, where extended families stretch all over the country and even the world, family is certainly a good thing that many don't want to miss. Also, ask a child about those presents that are under the tree. They would never want to miss them. What would Christmas be without presents? Sure, the tree is nice and tall and beautiful, but come on, we need the presents under the tree. For many others, even those who aren't Christians, it's the feeling of Christmas that really matters. Lots of folks still set up a tree, put together a shopping list, and maybe even sing a carol or two. The spirit of Christmas may be just about any spirit at all, but it doesn't really matter as long as there's some sense of happiness during the season. But read the familiar story of Christmas in Luke chapter 2, or the story of the Magi in Matthew chapter 2, and all those expectations are there. The Holy Family huddles together in a stable or pulls the blankets tight on their ride to Egypt. The Magi bring gifts to the Christ child. The Spirit of God is behind both stories, making them happen. You could certainly go any of these directions with a Christmas sermon, but I want to humbly offer another don't miss this proposition for this particular Christmas. Something that most people would seem to be missing in the world where jobs are scarce, where violence and terrorism light up our TV screens, where disease and death are at the forefront in many of the minds of those folks who will show up on Christmas. Read Luke, and one important phrase seems to jump out more than any other, even if you've read it 6,500 times. Don't be afraid. Luke uses this phrase three times in the first two chapters, and each time it's spoken by the angel Gabriel. It functions as a kind of thesis statement for the story that will follow, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's because of the newborn king that the people of Israel and we too need no longer be afraid. We don't want to miss out on family or presents or the feeling. But Christmas is an opportunity not to miss out on being unafraid. The first time Gabriel appears to the old priest Zechariah, whom Luke uses as a kind of link to the Old Testament and the temple system. The angel says to the old man, "Do not be afraid, because your prayers have been answered." They were going to be answered in a personal sense, because Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son who would become John the Baptist, but also answered in the larger sense that God was going to do something about the plight of his people who had lived under the specter of fear and oppression for generations. Wouldn't we all like to hear that our prayers have been answered? We'd like for God to send Gabriel to tell us that our business is going to be prosperous again, that the pain of our grief will subside, that a cure will be found for us before it's too late. We sure wouldn't want to miss that message. But God's way of answering our prayers is often by doing something beyond our hopes and beyond our expectations. Yes, sometimes our prayers are answered in ways that we want, but more often we see God at work in giving us what we really need when we really need it. In Israel's case, God's Messiah comes as a tiny, helpless baby instead of a conquering hero. Instead of taking on the Roman oppressors with military might, he would suffer and die at the hands of the empire. This is how God chooses to save the entire world, by participating in human suffering and taking it on, not by bailing himself or us out of it. Our prayers are always answered by God, who walks beside us no matter where we find ourselves. The second time Gabriel shows up, it's in the visit to Mary. "Don't be afraid," he says to her, "for you have found favor with God." It wasn't that Mary was especially wonderful or perfect. God chooses her because God chooses to favor the unlikely, the obscure, the innocent, even the mistake-prone, to do his most important work. Like Zechariah, like so many others in Scripture, Mary is offered an opportunity. She will be blessed in bringing God into the world, but as always, she seems to be the case, that blessing would cost her something as well. As Simeon will tell her when she brings Jesus to be dedicated in the temple, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." She no doubt remembered those words when she saw her son, God's son, hanging on the Roman cross. "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God." That's the second message we don't want to miss at Christmas. God favors each of us, loves us with an everlasting love, loves us enough to come as one of us, to die for us, to live with us, and be in us. It's not favor that we earn. Instead, it is the ultimate gift, better than all the presents under the tree. We call that gift grace or blessings, and God offers it to us lavishly. God doesn't promise us a pain-free life. He didn't endure one himself in the person of Jesus. But he does promise to be with us every step of the way. The third angel announcement takes place out there in the fields beyond Bethlehem. Shepherds, who are the poorest of the poor, are watching over the flocks when the angel appears, and as the King James Bible says, they were sore afraid. Do not be afraid, says the angel a third time. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all of the people. Notice the angel's song. Glory to God in heaven, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Peace, not despair, not fear. It is good news for all the people, not just for some. Jesus would grow up to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's a present reality of which we see glimpses, but also it's a future promise. The kingdom will be fully realized in that second coming, when Jesus claims the throne once and for all. This is the grounds for hope on Christmas. No matter what happens in the present, in Christ, God promises to set the world right once and for all. In the meantime, we hear the angel's voice, "Do not be afraid. Money will come and go, yet still God is with us. Our health may fail, yet still God is with us. Our lives can be broken by sin and our past mistakes, but still God is with us." This is the good news for all of us, the thing you don't want to miss, no matter how many times you've read it. Our failures are not final. Our infirmities are not ultimately fatal, and our death will not be the last word. All the books ever written, all the movies ever made, never will amount to the can't-miss truth of this story. You get the good news, and nothing else really matters. Let's not miss out on the opportunity to be unafraid. Think of it as the perfect gift for those who think they have everything.